Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of Preparing for Battle. I'm your host, Roz, with Dorothy, and I've got Shane DeVille on the line, and Daryl should be joining us a little here, and I'm hoping just in a few minutes. I know that Shane has a prison ministry. He's been on the show before, and I definitely appreciate your time to come back on and talk with us. It's been a long time, and hopefully someone out there will be blessed by the show tonight. And I just want to say before the show starts that a lot of you know that Sue Bradley has passed, and I just wanted to Sue has I spent a lot of time with her, and I'm very blessed that I had a chance to know her and research with her, and I learned a lot, and the things that she taught me, I'm going to keep going with that torch and keep showing people to read between the lines, not at the line. And if you understand what Sue Bradley has done, then you'll understand what I just said. But at any rate, let's get the show started. I know that Shane's on the line with us. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing great.
Good, good. I'm really glad that I'm blessed that you were able to join our show tonight. It's been a long time, like I said earlier. And, you know, I just wanted to just kind of, you know, get an update on what you've been up to and what's going on.
Well, we're still in the prisons. And this year, as we rolled around, we were able to, we did 7 units last year in the greater Houston area, state penitentiaries, and we dropped 2 of the units, but we picked up more services, and so we're going to do nearly 200 services on the weekends in prison this year. So the Lord has really expanded it, and it's a lot of work, and it keeps me busy, but it keeps me out of trouble. So
well,
we're really enjoying it.
That's excellent, and I think that, you know, I think that a lot of people, I don't want to be rude, but I think that a lot of people kind of forget that, you know, there are people in the prisons and that we're supposed to take the gospels to there as well as, you know, out here. And
yeah.
I was talking to Shane about, you know, can you have gospel tracts? And you know, I'd like to get some gospel tracts actually to you that you can take in there with you.
Okay. That'd be great.
Yeah. At any rate, Dorothy, is Daryl called in, or?
He called in, but he dropped. Do you want me to call him?
He'll probably call back. The bug man preacher is late.
I tried. That's rarity for him.
Well, I know that a lot of things are happening. It just seems like today, you know, I was reading an article about there was a stabbing at a church
in
Mexico.
Yes.
It just seems like, you know, things are starting to be, things are starting to penetrate even more these days, you know?
Yeah, I do. And I was just thinking about that, and we preached and taught on some of it last night, that in Second Timothy, the third chapter, when it talks about the last days, that perilous times are going to be coming on us. And, of course, Paul is writing to Timothy, which is a letter to the church. And that word perilous that's used there is a violent attack. And it's the only two times it's used in the New Testament is there. And in Matthew, the 8th chapter, when Jesus comes on the demoniac and he is violently there. And so we need to understand that there's going to be violent attacks that are going to come. We talked about the attacks that went on last year, the people that they first said were on bath salts, and then later on it came out they really weren't on anything. They were just demon-possessed. And so we know that the devil is going to be given power to make war on the saints. And so we know that violence is going to increase because Jesus said, men's hearts were going to wax cold, and they were going to be, even going into that chapter talking about that they were, how they will be without natural affection. And so we're going to see these attacks increase. And so we have to continue to hide ourselves in the secret place of the Most High God and depend on Him and the angelic hosts that He has around us that are here to protect us and to just keep drawing into Him, because it's just going to get worse and worse. We see our nation and we see the things that go on and the horrific bombings and all that went on. And the thing that the Lord keeps drawing my attention to is that there's no repentance. Judgment comes and judgment comes and judgment comes, but the people never repent. We keep pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps, and we're going to be Boston strong, and we're going to be this, and we're going to be that, and we're going to bring ourselves back. But there's no repentance. And the problem that we have in this nation and around the world is a sin problem. And until you take care of the sin problem, these things are not going to get any better. We've seen over and over again that calamity has come here, and I believe that God has sent it. He's allowed it to come in judgment, just as He did to the children of Israel in the Old Testament, that He would raise these people up. And so the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, that all these things that happened to Israel happened for our example, to look back and see these things. And so I've been reading in some of the Old Testament prophets that God would send the prophetic word and the people would refuse to repent, and God would get to a place where He would say, since you did not listen to my warning, when you cry out to me, I'm not going to hear your warning. And so I feel like we're fast approaching that day, that we've been given over to a reprobate mind from Romans, the first chapter, that we put God out of our mind, and now it's descending and descending. We see today that a basketball player in the NBA came out and announced he was homosexual, and it's all over the news, and they just propose it as being the greatest thing ever. And so we're quickly approaching the day that it's going to tip to the other way. And so we're calling that this evil good and good evil, and so we're just rushing to that place.
Before I go into it even more, I just want to say that Daryl is here.
Okay.
Are you there?
I sure am. Hello.
Hello.
Nice that you could join us.
Yeah, I called and somehow I got cut off. But that's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah, I know it goes. But I just wanted to say, Shane, that Psalm 91 came to my mind as soon as you said that.
Yes.
So I just wanted to just throw that in there quickly.
Amen.
And, that came to my mind as soon as he said that we got to seek shelter within the Lord, you know.
Amen.
And it just seems like a lot of that. I do want to say that it's about repentance and humbling yourself. And a lot of people, I'll tell you what, they don't want to hear that.
No.
You know, they want to flock to. Even people who, and I learned this, you know, doing, you know, the radio show, that, you know, you can get caught up in everything that's going on, and just, you know, you want all the listeners, you know, you want this, you want that, and, you know, when I first started this program, I was talking about repentance, and,
right.
You know, it seemed like later on, it just got to where I was doing 4 shows a week. And I know that I've said this more than once to those who listen. before you know it, you start looking at, oh my gosh, you know, I got to get this person on so I can get, you know, all these people to listen and stuff like that. And it's like, well, great, but what am I saying to them? You know what I mean? And I learned that, and I noticed that my numbers have gone down because I know that I've taken a break and come back, but it's all about repentance, and that's where it's at. And a lot of the churches, I think that, you know, you're right, they just have this thing where, you know, they're boss, they're running it, and
I want to read this out of Timothy right fast, and then we'll let the bug man talk about it. But I just feel like this is where the Spirit is leading tonight. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, starting in verse 1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And so we see that this scripture is talking about the church, because this is who it's addressed to, and we know the church is always a woman, and Jesus is the bridegroom. And so we see this woman that's been led astray is the church, because we've allowed people to come in and preach and teach to us and to tell us what our itching ears want to hear. And the gospel that they preached is one that has a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. We used to think that this was just talking about the gifts of the Spirit and all those things, and in one aspect it is, but the real aspect that's troubling to us today is that we preach a message where it doesn't change people. Grace just covers over your sin, and you're just going to sin and enter in, when the Bible tells us in Titus, the 2nd chapter, that the grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness. And so that's the real message of grace that we should get. And then they're ever learning, yet they're never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And we know that the truth is not a fact, but the truth is a person who is Jesus Christ. And they're ever sitting in the church listening and hearing and trying to learn, but they never come to know the real Jesus that can bring them out of all these things that we just read would be happening in the last days.
Amen.
Right.
I agree. That's exactly right.
Amen.
And it's grieving when you see it on the faces. You can see it in the eyes of the people as you're ministering the word of the living God. You can see whether they receive it or they literally fight against it from the spirit that's within them. And it is really grieving to your heart, because you know Jesus stands and cries and offers that living water, and then they just fight it. And it's like whatever the spirit that is in them hates the love of Jesus.
Yes. Yes, it's a religious spirit. I tell the guys in prison all the time, if they've been put there, they're in the role of John the Baptist in the wilderness, and God has them there separated to prepare them. And so we see these things happening and all this stuff going on. And so we, as it was in the days that Jesus came to the earth the first time, the same spiritual principles are going to be going on in the last days. We know the spirit of Elijah is going to be going forth to prepare the way, and not in just one person this time, but in many people. But the Pharisaical spirit of so many people that are in the church and have a form of godliness, Jesus told the Pharisees, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and it's them that testify of me." And so I see this same spirit going on now. People are in their religious works. They're in church on Sunday morning, and they're got their list, and they're checking it twice. I paid my tithes. I read my Sunday school lesson. I did this, and I did that. And now my tally sheet adds up that all the ungodliness that I lived in all the week is now been canceled out. And we talk to many people and say, "Well, why do you think you're going to heaven?" "Well, I'm basically a good person." Well, basically good people go to hell. The only people that are going to make it into heaven are those that receive what Jesus paid for at the cross. And that's what we got to get back to, is the message of the cross.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen. I know sometimes we, just like Roz was saying, we come here and we get caught up in the issues and the things that are going on in the world, and the Nephilim and aliens and vampires and all these things that are going on. And they, I mean, there's a spiritual basis behind all those things, but we get away from the gospel message, and the sin nature has to be dealt with. And if it's not dealt with, then there'll never be peace, and there'll never be holiness, and there'll never be provision. There'll never be any of those things that God promised for us to have until we take care of the sin nature. And it can only be taken care of through faith in what Jesus paid for at the cross.
You'll turn into a bloodsucker.
That's right. You sure will. I know a bunch of them. And they don't just come out at night either.
Yep, and they fear the sun, the
yes,
Son of the
that's
living
exactly
God.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Well, it's just interesting how it's just, you know, how you see so many people flock to bad news, and
yes.
And I'm not, and I, you know, I was one of them, you know, but I you know, I research stuff and everything like that, and you just got to make sure you don't get caught up in it. But you know, for Don Henley made a song back in when I think 84, 85. It was called Dirty Laundry. And it just was about, you know, people just loving dirt.
Right.
And
right.
Even it's in the church.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not about one another, you know, it's a something on someone else, you know what I mean?
Right. That's right. That's right, and there's no covering, there's no love to cover a multitude of sins. We don't cover people's sins up and help them to be restored and do all those things anymore. We're talebearers, and we go and tell those things to other people because it makes us feel like we're better than they are, and it goes back to that same Pharisaic religious spirit that the Pharisee stood up there in the temple and said, here I am, I fast twice a week, I give tithes, I do this, I do that, and I'm glad I'm not a sinner like this tax collector over here. And the tax collector has his head to the ground and says, God, have mercy on a sinner like me. And that's the one that goes down redeemed.
Right.
Well, the Lord laid a scripture on my heart when I was praying a while ago about the radio show.
Amen.
Are you still there?
Go on, yep. Bugman.
He said, Matthew 7, verse 21,
amen.
Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven,
yep.
But he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. Therefore, verse 24, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Who
Amen.
We know is Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them not, now this is talking about the American church,
yes.
Shall be likened unto foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. We cannot say that we have not heard the words of God. Here
Amen.
In America, there's Bibles everywhere. We're a free nation with all the gospel coming forth. I know it's tainted in many areas, but we have heard the word of the living God, and we have despised it as a whole. Not all of us. There's a remnant. But he carried me to Ezekiel also, chapter 13, about the false prophets and how they had untempered mortar, and they caused
yep.
the people to put their faith in a false foundation. And
right.
what he said he was going to do, he said he'll break down the wall.
Yes.
He says, therefore, verse 13, it's chapter 13, verse 13, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind. Remember what I just read a while ago in Matthew?
Yep.
I will rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in my anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. This is talking about judgment at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. So will I break down the wall that you have dabbed with untempered mortar, that's a false foundation, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation therefore shall be discovered, so everybody will see it's false, and it shall fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and you shall know that I am the Lord.
Amen.
Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them who have dabbed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they who dabbed it, to wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. That's exactly where we're at.
Amen. Amen.
Prosperity pimps are out there saying, peace, peace, and the Lord saying, you have no idea what is coming down.
Yep.
There's the judgment of God about to come upon this place. We're going to see all kinds of activity. I mean, in the supernatural realm, I'm talking about signs in the heavens, signs in the sun, the moon and the stars. Things are going to happen like never before. There's going to be places just fall. The Lord's going to expose the false doctrine and give the people one more chance to repent and come out of it, so they can be saved for real. That's the damaging thing about an American gospel. Many people think they're saved in their own mind. They got a head knowledge of Jesus, but they got no heart knowledge of the Holy Ghost.
Yep. That's right. Amen. It's that same scripture we fall back on all the time in John the 3rd chapter, that Nicodemus was there talking to Jesus, and Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and he was explaining to him spiritual things, but Nicodemus wasn't born again because he had not received the Spirit of God. And Jesus told him, the Spirit is like the wind. You hear it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes to, and that you must be born again. And so going into Matthew, the 13th chapter, about the same thing, of building on the foundation of the Word, that all those people that were there and heard the parable of the sower, only 12 were able to understand what Jesus was saying to them. And he told them, you've come here to fulfill this scripture, that seeing you see not, and hearing you hear not, lest you would hear and turn and be healed and be conformed into my image, to be converted. And he tells them straight out, it's not because I don't want to give you the understanding of this, because when you see the truth, you close your eyes and you close your ears. With your mouth you draw near to me, but your heart is far from me. And so we see these very things. The Lord has been having me preach on that very scripture in Matthew, the 7th chapter. We've gone over it and over it and over it, because there's power in the name of Jesus. You can pray the prayer of healing and cast out devils and all those things. The name of Jesus is going to turn those things too. But the knowing that Jesus talked about right there is the same kind of knowing that Adam knew Eve and brought forth seed. It's a communion of being a husband and a wife. And many people do not know Jesus as the bridegroom and as their husband in that intimate relationship. Like you said, they know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. I was listening to a guy talking the other day, and he was talking about Abraham Lincoln and how you could go to Kentucky where he was born, and you could go to Springfield, Missouri, where he practiced law, and you could go to Gettysburg where he gave an address. You could go and stay in the Lincoln bedroom in the White House. You could go to Ford Theater where he was killed. You could go to his grave. You could go to all those places and learn about him, but you still wouldn't know Abraham Lincoln. And people go and hear about Jesus, but they really don't know him, because they're looking for another Jesus that's not another, and a gospel that's not another.
We hit the nail on the head.
Amen. Amen. And going into the itch and ear part of it, the same thing happened to the children of Israel, I believe, in Exodus, the 32nd chapter, when Moses goes up on the mount to get the tablets and bring them back down. The people get Aaron to take their golden earrings, so we can tie that together. They took their earrings from Egypt and cast them in there and made a golden calf. And Aaron said, tomorrow we're going to have a feast unto the Lord. And they danced around it and said, this is the God that brought us up out of Egypt land. They called it the Lord, and they built it around religion, but they were really worshiping what their hands had made, their idol that they had before them. And so we know the Lord would give those things, but we have to remember that when Moses came down off that mountain, he ground up that golden calf, and he made the people put it in water and drink it. And it's a picture of what goes on in Revelation 17 and 18, where God takes the harlot church and makes them drink the wine of the wrath of their fornication. And so we see that same thing going on now. It's time to quit playing church and get in Jesus and get out of the world.
Amen. Did we lose Roz?
Well, it sounds like we must have.
It's not showing. It's dropped out.
Okay.
What happened?
She was there.
Sometimes.
Okay. Are we still on?
Yes, we're still on.
Okay. Well, we'll keep going till she gets back.
Sorry about that.
Well, hey, Dorothy, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Amen.
Dorothy's great.
Well, I
Amen.
Heard Ross, right?
She's a big help to helping. She helps get the show together for me and stuff. She's great.
Well, such as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes.
And in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the return of the Son of Man.
Amen.
So we are to now lift up and look up. So there's
Amen.
No depression or oppression to come upon a saint. We are lift up. That means to get up, be full of joy, and look up, knowing that our redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
Because we can see these people coming out of whatever they call the closet. I mean, like today, I don't know what closet they've been in, but it must have been in Satan's closet.
Yes.
In Hell's kitchen.
Yes.
That throws me for a loop when I hear that... That saying.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Very interesting.
But it does let you know the day that we're in, because many people are saying,
yeah.
Oh, no. And they're scoffing and they're mocking and they're saying, no, we got forever. It's not going to happen yet. And Jesus told us to be diligent and vigilant.
Yes.
We're to watch and pray. Everybody,
yes.
Well, you need to get in the Bible, keep your mind on Jesus, keep your mind on the... You sure do. You need to be diligent, but you also need to know your season. You need to
Amen.
Know your surroundings, because he rebuked the religious Pharisees for being all in the Torah but missing him. He's right there among them, and they missed him because they
yes.
were so supposedly diligent in the scriptures that they were adding with that religious spirit to the Lord's word. Like
that's what I'm
now.
Saying. That's what I'm saying. You even a constant, even if you're reading your Bible and you're constantly reading it, you can get so lost and caught up, it can just go right by you.
Yep,
that's true.
Yeah.
Without, I mean, because I was watching The Greatest Story Ever Told tonight. I don't know. I like the older movies, you know.
Yeah.
I hear you.
And. It was interesting how, you know, how these folks, you know, that were in the rabbis and all didn't recognize who he was. They thought he was he kept calling him blasphemer. And I know that you guys know this, but it's just that, you know, to not know who your own is. And he said, my sheep will know me.
Yep. Yep. They wasn't his sheep, though.
Well, no, I know that, but I'm just saying they were supposed to have been, right?
Right, that's right. That's right, and they did know that he was from God, because Nicodemus says in John the 3rd chapter, teacher, we know that you're a man sent from God, because nobody can do the works that you do. They knew that he had come from God, but they had their own ideas about what they were going to do, and when he didn't toe the line of what they wanted to go on, then they turned. They knew in their heart who he was. They just didn't want to receive him.
I guess they had that certain deliverer in their brain, you know. This weekend, what was it, last week, I guess, Daryl, I don't know if I sent that to you, but it was some diocese in New York came up with this buddy Jesus type person, and they have like this robe on with a pair of red and white Chuck Knoll's sneakers. You know?
I was trying to get Shane some of those the other day.
Yeah. That's right. I'm trying to get me a red pair of shoes now.
Funny you bring that up.
That's right.
What size you wear again, Shane? Was it nine and a half?
9.5. That's right.
Praise the Lord.
I just saw that picture, and as soon as I saw that, because everybody wants that you know he's just like us, and
right.
You know they have you know these shows are called OMG now, and like OMG
yeah.
is everywhere. That's so
right.
disgusting. It's just unreal.
Yeah, it really
and
is.
I thought about I watched Dogma back in the early 90s. You know, before I didn't know any better.
Right.
And it's funny because the Catholic Church in that movie, because George Carlin was one of the bishops,
right.
And he brought out this buddy Jesus with his eye winking and his thumb up, you know.
Right.
And I just, and as soon as I saw that one last week with the Catholic Church bringing that, I was just like, come on, really?
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna tell you. Here in Texas, we have a lot of Catholics, especially in the penitentiaries, because we have a lot of Hispanic people that are coming out. But God is bringing them out of there. Praise the Lord. I got
Hallelujah.
A lot of Bible studies, and they're hungry for the Word of God. And when I start pointing out the things that they believe in and do that are unscriptural, they immediately see them, because people that have a heart for Jesus, when you present them with the truth, they're going to come to the light. And those that are in religion and follow their church are still in darkness, and no matter how much you show them in the Word, they'll never receive it, because they'll always say, well, my church believes. And I say, well, your church didn't die for you, and your church is going to carry you to hell if you don't receive the truth, because Jesus is the truth. It's not, again, it's not a factor. It's not something that you learn. It's somebody that you know. Because
yep.
ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And he that the Son has set free is free indeed.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
It's amazing to me the season that we're in and how the church decides to have this replacement theology and want to be Israel.
Yeah.
And
yep.
what they don't understand is actually what they're saying is they're going to be the same way Israel
yep.
was when they missed Jesus.
Yep.
And you see, there was only a remnant saved in
yep.
that whole season. And Jesus stood and cried and told them, O Jerusalem, how I've longed to hold you in my bosom. That's what he's saying to the church as a whole right now. They're just like the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Sanhedrin, and they don't see it. And they're going to be left. They're going to be left
yep.
in all the blood and guts, because they're
yep.
sitting around and they love their power, their prestige, and their dogma and their doctrine. And they're not allowing Jesus to save their soul. And that's exactly what the Pharisees were doing. They were diligent in the Torah, and then they wanted to add their own fence rules and fence laws and dogma to the Word of God when you're not supposed
yep.
to add to or take away from.
That's right.
And we know
that's
Moses
right.
had laid down the proper foundation by looking at the temple. When you look at the temple, everything in the temple furniture points
mm-hmm.
to Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Every single bit of it.
Yep.
And Moses laid that down, but here comes Jesus fulfilling every single part of it. And they should have seen that if they wouldn't have been going by their own religious dogma and doctrine.
Yeah. Yep.
That
yep.
religious dogma and doctrines is going to cause so many people to be burned up in hell, and they're going to burn eternally because they're listening to religion, dogma, and doctrines.
Yep.
I don't know which one of you did it a couple weeks ago. I think it was Shane.
It was Shane. That helper, Lord, gave me.
You put up that Joel Osteen thing.
Yes. It was me. Then it wasn't true. I had to take it.
No, it wasn't true.
But I'm here in the city with him, so I mean, well, I was telling Daryl that I was looking. We have so many friends on Facebook, and I've never seen so many apostles and prophets and evangelists in all my life. And it's not that I don't believe in the fivefold ministry, because I do. I don't think it's passed away. But I was looking at one the other day, and there was a woman apostle that was on there, and so I said, well, I'm gonna get over here and see what she's saying. And of course it was, God's gonna bless you, God's gonna bless you, God's gonna bless you. There was never any repentance, any of those things. And there on her page, not once but twice, is links to Joel Osteen. And I'm like, now you're an apostle of God. This man is apostate and has flat out said that Jesus is not the only way. And I explained to the guys in prison, see, we have a lot of Muslims that are in there as well, and Jehovah's Witnesses and all these people in there. And the new Pope, we know he's trying to bring everybody together, and we all worship the God of the book, and we all worship the God of Abraham. But we don't, because Jesus clearly tells us in John the 8th chapter that Abraham saw Jesus' day and he rejoiced. And so if they worshiped the God of Abraham, they would receive Jesus as being the only begotten Son of God. And so when you deny the deity of Christ and deny that he is God in the flesh, you're believing in another Jesus, and you're not getting into heaven because you're believing in another that's not another, and there's no power in that. That's one of the abominations that brings about desolation that stands in the temple right now, is on the Temple Mount there in the Dome of the Rock. It says there is no Son of God in there, and so that's one of the fulfillments of that thing. And so we come against it and reason out of the Scriptures, and there's been several times in the prison ministry that the Lord has gone into this and just kept going over it and over it and over it again. I'm like, Lord, they got it the first time I said it. But to come to find out later on, there were Muslims that were there in the service, and God was trying to minister the truth to them. And so we just praise the Lord that we still have the freedom to go in there. But I'm looking that there's a day coming that we're not going to have that freedom to be able to go into the penitentiaries anymore. And so we're sowing as often and as hard as we can until that day comes.
Right.
I think many, not everyone, but many have taken what we've had for granted.
Yes.
And we've done despite to the spirit of grace.
Yes.
And we take for granted that we are able to hear the truth at this time.
Yes,
because
that's
right. Amos 8:11 says, behold, the
that's
days
right.
come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. There's coming a day where that spirit of grace and supplication shall be pulled and given
yep.
back to Israel to
that's
open
right.
their eyes. And everybody's going, oh, no, God's not going to do that. Yes, He is going to do that. That door is closing even now.
Yep. Yep.
And hearts will harden, and a strong delusion shall be sin. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. You can look it up.
Yep. Amen. That's right. And the Lord has been telling me the same thing you were saying about missing the hour of your visitation. And that's the same thing that's going on. But Paul said, we're not no longer in darkness. We're in the light, and we see the hour that we're in. No man knows the day or the hour that Jesus is going to return, but we know that we're getting close. And some of the typology and the things that we see coming out of Judges, the last chapter of Judges says that everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And so coming out of that, they came to Samuel and they wanted a king and they demanded a king. And so we know when this administration came in the first time, God told both of us that they had asked for a king and he had given them one. And so later in encouragement, the Lord had told me that David also was soon to be on the scene, which is representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I started rejoicing, and he said, hold on. You got to remember that David ran for his life from cave to cave for a season before he took his throne. And so it's a type and shadow showing the days and the times that we're coming in, is that we're going to have to go underground, because the prevailing thing of this nation is that we're being unloving and unkind. And we know there's already been laws written into the health care bill and many other things that are going to persecute the Christians. And now we see it more and more. Now there's a majority that's for homosexual marriage, and there's still a majority for abortion and all these things. And so the tide has turned, because I was telling the guys the other day, if the 85 or 90% of the people in the United States that claim they were Christian really were Christian, we wouldn't have any of these problems, because we'd have voted all these things out long ago. We'd have fed the poor. We'd have took care of those that didn't weren't able to take care of their children, and all these things would have already been taken care of. And so we know we don't live in a Christian nation anymore, and it hadn't been one in a long time. We need to let that delusion go and realize that we got to prepare to be that remnant and move from place to place. And as we do, the Lord is going to make provision in that.
Yes, that's the strange thing about Barack Obama saying that 4 years ago. Because the enemy loves to use even certain truth as an accusing, in an accusing way.
Yep.
And as an accusing sword. And he used it. And many people are saying, oh, no, he's not right. But he is right in that. He also was right in something else when he said, you people don't read your Bibles. You see, the devil will come out and he'll tell you the truth, but he'll accuse you.
Yes, he will. Yes,
and he
will.
Was telling America exactly the truth. He told them all right in front of everybody, you people don't know your Bibles, don't read your Bibles. And that's exactly what happened to the church, and that's why the church is voting on someone like Barack Obama.
Yep.
600,000? Oh, no, 6 million, excuse me.
Yep.
He wouldn't have got in if the church hadn't voted on the Antichrist spirit.
Nope.
And they're going to do it again.
That's right. And the unfortunate part of it is that many of our brethren voted for him because of the color of their skin. They went absolutely against what Dr. King believed and taught, that we would judge a man by the content of his character and not the color of his skin, because the content of his character is horrible. He's Antichrist in every belief that he has. And so there was only one reason that many people voted for him, and that was it. And now he's bringing the people in. As you know, there's unbiblical doctrines. The Bible says them that don't work don't eat, and yet he's moving further and further. So many people getting on food stamps and all those kind of things, even illegal aliens doing these things. But it's a system that's being set up. It's the Antichrist system that's being put in place, where everybody has to depend on the leadership of man, whose number is 666, is setting that mark in their mind, in the forehead that we read about in the book of Revelation, that it's programming and conditioning people to have to depend on the government to be able to get through. And so it's laying the stage for all those things to happen.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I just lost it. Oh, my gosh. Did
you hate it when that happened?
Yes, it was just like right there. It was like getting ready to go. You know, he says that, you know, you have to walk out of this world if you want to walk with me, or to walk with me. And it's like a lot of people don't want to do that because they're comfortable where they are.
Yes.
They don't want to see things for what they are. And let me tell you, if they really knew what was behind a lot of the stuff that was out there, they'd go running. Let me tell you, they'd be screaming and running and trying to get away as fast as they possibly could.
Absolutely.
One of the most damaging things in the future for everyone is going to be emotions. Our emotions, if we don't let the Holy Spirit, submerge us in him and take control of our emotions and attitudes, what's going to happen is the enemy is going to take those attitudes and those emotions and use them against us. And that's exactly what he's doing with prejudice. That's exactly what he's doing with what people are voting on. They're voting out of emotion, and that's exactly what he's doing through the media. When the media comes out and says what happened in Boston and everybody believes exactly what they say, even the ones who don't support the administration believe it because the media told them it was so.
That's right.
And let me tell you, the next thing that's coming is they're going to be setting up Christians, and the media is going to set up Christians, and people are going to say they're radicals, and they're going to believe them because the media told them it was so, the spirit of divination. That's exactly what's happening, the spirit of deception.
And
it's time
now
to stand up. Surrender the flesh, let it die, and be full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
There will be professing Christians bowing at the feet of the Antichrist when he arrives.
Yep, that's right. That's right, because one reason is they've all been taught they're not going to see him. So they'll be up out of here before anything bad happens. But the word is very clear. Paul says it in Thessalonians, and Jesus says it in Matthew, the 24th chapter. Until you see the abomination that brings about desolation stand in the temple, you don't have to worry about these things. But then these things are going to have to happen. But we have so many doctrines that are in the church that feed the flesh. And I was thinking about you this morning, or yesterday, I was reading in Amos in the 7th chapter about how so many people come against you to not prophesy anymore. That reminded me about how Amaziah came and kept telling him, look, don't come and prophesy here anymore. And Amos said, well, look, I was just a bug man. I was out there spraying bugs in the field, and God called me, and all I can do is just drop the word of the Lord.
We was just going over that last night in Isaiah 30.
Amen.
Sure was. See no more visions. Prophesy to us no more of the Holy One, but give us sweet things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what people want. That's why it's going to be a remnant. And the Lord's, he's drawing a line right now.
Amen.
And it's time to get on board. There's an ark of safety right now. The ark is built. Jesus built it 2,000 years ago. He's been saying, get aboard, come aboard now.
Yep.
Two of every kind. We got some animals out there that need to be converted and saved. Praise God.
Amen.
They need to let go
of
their animalistic behavior and come to be a new man, new creature in Christ. Praise God. The beast is taking them over. Those two of every kind not going.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost moving.
Amen. Amen. Going back to the typology and talking about the spirit of Elijah going forward. We remember that God took Elijah and had the people that were worshiping Baal to go up on Mount Carmel, and they had a contest, and he told the people of God, how long are you going to be halt between two opinions? And so that same spirit, as it goes forth, the people are that remnant that's going to hold on and be brought out. They're having to hide in places here and there, because you're not going to go and preach this message that we preach in no big church. We've been run out of, I tell people all the time, I've been run out of the best churches in town. But that's okay. They ran Jesus out everywhere he went to, amen. And so he as you preach the real word, and that word that's going to purify and it's salted with fire, there's only going to be a few that receive it. But those few that receive it, God is going to move and he's going to do a work in them. And we can get discouraged sometimes seeing all the things and the many people that you minister to and how few people really get it. But Jesus said that's the way it was going to be. He said, straight is the gate and narrow the way, and few there be that find it, but broad is the path that leads to destruction. And so we just getting what Jesus got. He had multitudes following everywhere he went. But when he told them, you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, the majority of them went away. And he looked at the disciples and said, are you not going to leave too? And Peter said, well, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. And Jesus said, it's true. I chose you 12, and one of you is the devil.
I know there's a lot of people out there struggling, and they really love the Lord with all their heart. They really do.
Amen.
And
Amen.
they're just caught up in
yes.
emotions and things that take place in their life. And, you know, it's not that they don't love him. It's just
right.
they feel like they can't reach him.
Right.
You know?
That's right. That's right. Well, the
One
devil
the major...
has given power to make war on the saints, and that's what he's doing right now. Go ahead, Daryl.
Well, one of the major reasons that they feel that way, and the reason why this is coming out, like what Shane's bringing forth and what the Holy Spirit's bringing forth right now on the radio show through us, the reason why it's coming out, it may sound harsh, it may sound tough, talking about
right.
the church as a whole, is because they can't hear that still small voice while
yes.
they're listening to the leaven of the Pharisees.
Amen, that's right.
Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. If you want to
yep.
hear the Lord's voice, if you want to hear the Holy Spirit again, Elijah, and you're feeling depressed, Elijah, I'm talking to all those out there right now that
Amen.
Really want
yep.
to hear God, and they said, blessed are the pure at heart, for they shall see God. Then I advise you to get on your knees in another place right now, at home, wherever you're at, in your vehicle. Well, don't get on your knees in your vehicle, but this, I tell you, you might want to pull over, praise God.
He's sending Daryl the ticket for that one.
And say, Lord Jesus, I want to know
yeah.
the real Jesus.
Yeah.
I know you live. I know you're real, and I know you've saved me, but I can't hear you because you've been listening to man. Man's number is 666, which is the number of the beast, Revelations 13:18. And many times the dogma coming down, the leaven coming down is what brings the spirit of infirmity. the woman that had the spirit of infirmity on her for 18 years, that Jesus reached down and said, this is a child of Abraham. That means that woman was saved. But she had been in, wherever she asked, she was in a synagogue. And she was in, what did it say in Revelation chapter 2, the synagogue of Satan.
Satan, that's right.
So Jesus healed her right there in the middle of the synagogue of Satan. You're talking about boldness, praise God. And they all got mad. The snakes went crazy then. And they said they tried to pour the religion on them. Well, you done healed on a Sabbath. You're ungodly.
Yep.
Because they were the synagogue of Satan. Many people, the reason why they can't, they're saved, but they got infirmity on them. And they can't hear the Lord because they're in a synagogue of Satan. Hallelujah.
That's right. That's
and
right.
what we got to do now is with boldness preach the truth to break that mess down so the people will understand, well, I just thought this was of the Lord. And when they really get a hold of the Holy Ghost talking to them daily, I'm talking about you, he still speaks. He walks with you, and he talks with you. A long life's narrower way.
Narrow way.
He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. Praise God.
Amen.
Oh, brother.
You got the bug man fired up.
I tried.
Go ahead, old.
Oh, my gosh, I'm sorry.
That's what had to happen to me. I promise you, he had to break me out of that mess and take me away from listening to all them false prophets on TV and them false preachers and teachers. Man, they had my head spinning. I was playing Holy Ghost. I mean, what do you call that thing? When you put your foot in one place and you put your foot in another.
Twister.
I was playing Holy Ghost Twister, man. So that guy sent me something that says, my anointing's on this piece of paper. If you'll put your hands here and your feet here, you'll have the same anointing, but I want you to send back a $100 bill.
Yep.
And I'm like, wow, I wonder if this is true. And here I'm sitting here, and the Holy Ghost finally spoke to me and said, what are you doing? And I could almost hear a Shane DeVille Heflin voice going, dummy.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I was foolish. I was following men. Let us quit following men. Quit following the Pope. I don't care if you're in the Baptist church, you're the Pentecostal church, the Methodist church, and you want to talk about the Catholic church, and you're doing the same thing. You done made your pastor a papa, a vicar on earth.
Yep.
You sure have. And when he comes in, you go, oh, and you bow down to man. That's exactly what was happening with the Pharisees. They done put them on such a pedestal that the whole nation was deceived.
Amen. Amen.
Old John was out there in the wilderness screaming, praise God, eating locusts. Right. He wouldn't even eat with them.
Amen. Amen. Because he was his place. He probably the high priest at that time shouldn't even have been the high priest. John should have been the high priest because he was of the line of Aaron. But we don't find him in the synagogue. He's out in the wilderness worshiping God in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
That's where I was here. I'm telling you.
Amen. And we see just like what Darrell was talking about, the religious leaders. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, the first thing some of them did was run back to the Pharisees and tell them what Jesus did. And the next thing they said is, we're going to have to kill him because he's going to cost us our place and our nation. And so we have that same thing going on today. Is people are afraid Jesus is going to cost them their place and their nation. And so we keep going into this patriotism and we're going to be Boston strong, we're going to be this, and we're going to be that, but there's never any repentance. It's all worshiping this idol that we built up. The American way is not God's way.
Uh-uh.
Amen? The Bible doesn't back democracy. The only time I ever read that they voted on anything was when they got to the Promised Land the first time, and it come down 10-2, and it cost all of them but them two their lives to wander out in the wilderness. God
sure
has a way, and that ain't it. Amen. And so this ideology that we have that we're going to live, we're going to work till we're 65 and retire and get a second home and vacation and doing this and that and live at ease. Jesus talked about a man that was going to do that, said he pulled down his barns and he built bigger barns and laid them all up in there. And then he looked at the man and said, fool, tonight your life will be required of you. We got to quit laboring for the things of this world and start laying up our treasures in heaven, where thieves don't break in and steal, and moth and rust don't corrupt. And that kingdom, the kingdom of heaven is inside of us. It's the spirit of God. Jesus said it don't come with observation. It's already there. And so we got to be laying up these spiritual fruits and quit worrying about getting caught up in this world and the things of this world and riches and all that kind of stuff. We see all these people preaching all this prosperity and this and that, and the Bible's very clear over and over again. It's better for you to be poor because you'll be rich in faith. And those that are rich, they get caught up and snared, and that richness is going to get on them and burn them like a canker and cause them to be destroyed. It's better for us to be poor in all things than be rich in Jesus.
Amen.
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 You know, I don't ever hide anything from the listeners that listen to this show. And, you know, I know that I've talked to both of you a lot, and I don't listen to anybody on TV, believe me. I don't listen to any of them. But, you know, I'm a person who has emotions, and a lot of things have happened in my life, and you know, from child on up, and, you know, but I love him. I love the Lord. I really do.
Amen.
And I know there's people out there struggling with it,
Amen.
Too.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
And I'm not here to knock anyone down or
no.
make them feel bad,
no.
because
no.
this is a place of helping and loving each other. And
Amen.
And, Amen.
But it's only the truth that's going to help. And I'm just like you. I talk to the guys when I'm in prison. I tell them what I'm going through. I've been depressed this week. I feel like I hadn't got. I see the devil comes and talks with me. If you could come and hear me and the devil talk to each other, you would know what I was talking about, because I don't get what I think that God ought to give me. And so then the devil starts in and, well, look at how God's treating you. You're running here and there doing this for the Lord and praying for this one and going over here and going over there. And here you got this one thing. And God, it's just something about you that God don't like, and he's just punishing you. And he's going to use you up for everything he can get out of you, and then he's just going to cast you to the side. And the more I sit here and talk to the devil back and forth, the worse and the worse it gets. And so I mm-hmm. finally have to get to a place to say, I'm going to believe what the Word says. If I don't get anything else, I should have been dead and sleeping in my grave long time ago, burning in a devil's hell, but God kept me and brought me out. And so we just have to get to that place. I still have to struggle against sins in my life. I still have lusts and things that try to rise up, and I have to fight them, and I get in that place that Paul talked about. I don't do the things I want to do, and I do the things that I don't want to do, and I go back and forth, but I can't stop reading right there. Paul goes on and says, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And he says, I thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's going to bring you out of those things. I want to encourage the people out there that you have to lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset you, and run the race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Because we get into, like you were talking about, when I start concentrating on, I'm not going to sin, I'm not going to get caught up in this, I'm not going to get caught up in that, the first thing you're going to do is get caught up in that, because you're concentrating on it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And you say, then you start putting yourself up under judgment, and when you do, now you've returned to the law, and when the law comes, sin revives, and now you're really in trouble. And so what we have to do is turn our eyes on Jesus and fall in love with Jesus. And as you fall in love with Jesus, he said that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He's not threatening the people, but he's saying, if you really love me, you will just automatically keep my commandments. If you abide in the vine and my word abides in you, you will ask whatever you will and I'll do it. And it's just that relationship of being in love with Jesus. And as you do those things, you will begin to bring forth fruit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus loves you, and he wants you to come out. Amen. He paid for us to get free at Calvary. He didn't do it just so we could stay in our mess and just wallow there and be miserable. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. So if you're out there and depressed and all those things are coming on you, Jesus is trying to reach out to you right now and give you a word to hold on and just to reach out to him. He's the deliverer. He does all the work. All we can ever say is yes or no. I can either choose blessing or cursing. And when I choose what Jesus says, I choose blessing. And so we can carry this back into the Garden of Eden, like we were saying a while ago about adding to and taking away from the Word of God. The devil took away from the Word, and Eve added to the Word because she said, if I even touch this tree, I'm going to die, and that's not what God said. And so when we be in Jesus, the devil can't kill us. He can't touch us, but he can cause us to kill ourselves the same way that he did with Adam and Eve. When you believe the devil's lie over God's truth, you bring death on yourself, and it may not be spiritual death, it may not be physical death, but it'll be death in that situation that you believe the lie of the devil over what God's word says is the truth.
Exactly, that's exactly right. And exposing the darkness also allows the light to come forward.
Amen, amen.
And as the light comes forward, people are awakened. And as they are awakened, they feel the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
Many people say, well, that's hard preaching. That's tough. This is what it's called, exposing the darkness, Ephesians chapter 5.
Yes.
It says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That's Ephesians 5:10-11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light.
Amen.
For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Wherefore he said, awake thou who sleeps. He sees the devil's leaven in the church. He's speaking to church people. He's not speaking to the worldly people.
Yes.
The devil's leaven in the church puts people to sleep. But when it's exposed, Christ's light wakes them up. He said, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you what? Light.
Light.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that light comes in. And then he gives you what? Beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Come on with me. That's why it's preached like this. That's why John the Baptist said, repent, brood of vipers. Repent, repent, bring fruit worthy of repentance. Everybody, well, that's a
Amen.
Hard word. No, what he's saying is Jesus offers forgiveness, but there must be repentance.
Amen.
Goodness.
Amen. And Jesus said of him that he was the greatest prophet that had ever been born a woman. He never worked a miracle that we see. The only thing he ever did was preach repentance and baptize people. That's
Amen.
Prophesying. That's true prophesying. Prophesying is saying what God says. People get so caught up in prophesying what's going to happen in the future and the gifts of the Spirit and all those kind of things. But true prophetic word preaches what God is saying right then, and it causes people to repent and turn to the Lord. That's when times of refreshing come upon you, is what the book of Acts says, is that when you repent, now times of refreshing come upon you, because God is not looking to punish us for the sins that we're in. He's trying to bring us out of them because he knows those sins are working death and heaviness
Amen.
And depression and oppression and all those things. It opens the door up that the tormentors can come into your life. And we see that picture with Saul and all the things, the way that he went down when he refused to forgive David, and when he had jealousy in his heart, and it just kept going down the line. Now depression comes on him. Then fear comes on him, of fearing not that a lion. Now, there's one fear of that. A lion comes in the room, and we're all going to try to get out of it. That's good fear that God gave you. But when you have a fear that a lion might come in the room, even though there's not one around, now you've gotten into a spiritual fear, and it just kept going on and on and on until it finally worked death in him.
It sure did. Praise the Lord. Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen, because that leaven of the Pharisees that you're talking about, Jesus said a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It don't just leaven a little bit of you, but it ends up working throughout all your theology, and before you know it, you are in a ditch. Jesus said, the blind, if you blind lead the blind, they'll end up in a ditch, and when you follow a man, you're going to end up in a ditch sooner or later. I'm going to get off sometime. I'm not going to be right all the time. But if you follow Jesus, he don't ever take a misstep. He's the one what wrote the book. He is the book. And so you never go wrong following him.
Hallelujah. That'll preach, boy.
Amen.
What did he say? What did he say in Luke chapter 4:16? If you go to Isaiah 61, he said, the Spirit of the Lord, God, is upon me. because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them who are bound.
Amen.
So when the truth comes forth, the truth comes forth. When the truth comes forth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Oh, yes, it will. Yes, it will. Because the devil don't have no power. The devil can do is lie. The way that he's a murderer is he causes you to kill your own self, going back to Genesis, the 3rd chapter. He lies to you. Life is in the Word. Jesus is the life and the light of men. And so when you choose to believe the devil, you kill your own self. You bring it upon yourself by believing his lie. And so that's why we have to stand on the Word, to hide it in our heart, that we might not sin against God. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And like Daryl was saying earlier, too many people don't read the Word of God. And so I tell them all the time in the prison, see, if y'all would have been the one that was out in the wilderness when Jesus got tempted out there and the devil started coming with him, at him with scripture, most people, if he'd have come at him with 2 scriptures, that'd have been the end of them, because they only know one. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and that's the end of their scripture knowledge. And so the Bible says that the Holy Ghost will bring all things to remembrance, but if we don't ever get the word in our remembrance, then we can't ever bring it back up. And going into the Bible tells us to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And it tells us to come and to look into the perfect law of liberty, to not be like a man that comes and looks at his natural face in the mirror and then turns away and forgets what manner of man he is. But we're to look in the perfect law, going back to the tabernacle, the brazen laver that they looked in to be purified before they went into the presence of God. You have to stay in this word because it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of a man's heart, because many times we have an intent and we have a thought. You can go to church and be going to church for the wrong reason. You might be going to find you a spouse, or going to get sow a seed so you can meet a need, amen, or going for this reason so that you can look good among the community. And so if we don't read the word, it can't reflect back to us and show us how wicked our heart is, because God tells us in Jeremiah 17 that we don't even know the deceitfulness of our heart, because it's wicked and deceitful above all things. I, the Lord, know your heart. I judge the reins and I try a man. And so we have to come to him and allow God to show us these things so that we can get free from them, because if you don't see you're in it, you can't get out of it.
You know, I had a dream. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I had a dream that I went to, well, my dream was I was in heaven anyway. So when I came back, and I knowingly knew I didn't want to come back, I tried to go back. I tried to go back to sleep because I didn't want to be here.
Amen.
And when I woke up, I couldn't get my balance. I almost felt like I was drinking for a couple days. I just couldn't get my balance. And I finally got my equilibrium kind of got right and everything. I ran into the bathroom and I looked to see if I had white hair. You know, because I watched too many Charlton Heston movies, I guess.
I got white hair.
Me too.
I had this. I felt like I was cloaked in love, and I tell you what, anybody could have walked up to me and punched me right in the face, and I just would have said, "I love you." I mean, I would have just loved them anyway. You know what I mean?
Amen.
And I felt like that for a couple of weeks. And I was helping people, you know, people were dropping things and I would pick them up for them. And they're looking at me like, what's wrong with her, you know?
Man.
And, you know, it's almost like that song, "You Lost That Love and Feeling." And I love that feeling because I love everybody. And I'm not saying I don't love everybody. And it's, I'll be honest with you, it's hard to love. It's hard to love those you see that are, but then you're no better than they are.
That's right.
Because we're all sinners, you know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah. Some of them is God's sandpaper.
Right, but I mean, you know, it was just so nice to feel that love. Just
amen. Amen.
I want to feel that all the time.
when you was talking about that and talking about coming back from that dream and how you was feeling like you was intoxicated, the thing that came to mind is what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. These is not drunk as ye suppose be, and it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that the prophet Joel spoke of, that in the last days God would pour his spirit out on all flesh. And so many times in Pentecostal circles we get caught up in speaking in tongues and doing all those things when we feel with the spirit. But it's really when love starts coming through, that you love your fellow man and love everybody around you. That's the real infilling and the initial sign of being filled with the Holy Ghost. And I know some of them get upset over that, but that's all right. Amen, because as they say, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, been baptized in Jesus' name, so it ain't nothing they can say to me about none of it. But I don't want to get caught up in those things, amen. I want to be in that place. And so Jesus tells us, this is going that you're talking about is going to happen, because he comes to the church and says, look, you've left your first love. You need to return and do the first works. And so we can get to a place to get caught up in the things of this world and all the people and this and that going on. And so our heart becomes callous. It begins to, men's hearts begin to fail them for fear, and men's hearts begin to wax cold because iniquity is abounding. And so, again, that's coming towards the church of we see these things happening in the earth realm, and sometimes it causes us to close off and to close our heart up because we don't want to be hurt by the things that are going on in the world. But Jesus didn't do that. He just kept opening up and kept on loving.
Exactly.
Praise God.
And I want to feel that way again so bad, because I don't want to feel the world. It's like the world gets to you. But man, the love was, I could feel it going in and out of my every cell of my body. I mean, it was just everywhere. Nobody could pick me off. I mean, it was just, it was just like that. And it's like, wow, you know, and to even say to myself while I was there, you know, I don't even want to come back. I was, you know, obviously I'm here, but,
Here's the key. You are on what is called the Mount of Transfiguration and covered by the agape love cloud. Just like he brought his three most consecrated disciples with him in Luke chapter 9 on the Mount of Transfiguration. And there was, when they were awake, they seen his glory, right?
Yes.
And they were wrapped in that cloud.
Yep.
But however, you'll find out if you keep reading that when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. That means the disciples withdrew again. How do we continue after we're shown this mighty agape love and we felt the power of the Holy Ghost in our life and we wanted to love everybody we come in contact with, to withdraw back to the nature that we had before we were saved? We all do this and we wonder, how did this happen? This means we've either grieved or quenched the Holy Spirit. And he brought me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And here's how to get back that same love we had at the beginning, the same love you felt after that dream. It says this, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not, so we see what grieves the Holy Spirit, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed. See, you are sealed in agape until the day of redemption. And here's something else. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice unto God for a sweet-smelling savor. That's how we get back in there. Let's say, Lord, get all this out of me, all the clamor, the evil speaking, the cussing, the evil communication coming out of my mouth, the anger that is not just, it's not righteous indignation, it's just plain anger. Those things grieve the Spirit of God within us, and then we don't feel that love like we should, and we don't have it for others.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness, I feel the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, it says in chapter 5, verse 18.
Amen.
There's your drunkenness right there, because when you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you feel that agape love, you can't hardly stand because
mm-hmm.
he's carrying you.
I couldn't. I didn't have any balance at all. I mean, I fell down. I got up and got out of bed. I fell down. And I tried to get back. I had to crawl because I couldn't. I felt like, you know, like sick.
Drunk in the spirit.
Yeah.
That's
well, I didn't know what that was at the time. Because I didn't know. But, you know, those of us who are going through premenopause, you know, need extra prayer.
I hear you.
Well, I didn't ask for it.
Yep. That's some of that cursing coming through the garden.
I tried.
But
don't meet me on that day.
Who is taking us out of the curse. That means even when that curse comes around, and I don't know what they call it. Women call it all kind of names. I've heard it called George and everything else. I don't say, who's George? But when George come around, you can say, Lord Jesus, I know you took by your stripes, I'm healed. By your shed blood, praise God, these cramps can go away. So I lay hands on myself right now in the name of Jesus, and I speak to you, cramps, come under the obedience of Jesus Christ and him crucified, for by his stripes am I healed.
It's not
Amen.
Cramps. It's
whatever. Don't go into it.
It's
mood swings, hormones, PMS. But we got Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Ooh. But you really just want to reach out and just choke someone, you know?
We get like that sometime too.
That's right.
We got hormones too. And I get hot flashes up in the pulpit. Man, I'll be sweating on my upper lip and back of my hair be sweating. I get them hot flashes up there. Everybody's cold, freezing to death in the pews. And I got a hot flash going on.
Sorry.
I've been on the fire of the Holy Ghost burning.
Well, you know, sometimes you just feel like and you just, Lord, you know.
Hey, you got an amen, Ross. You sure did. I got somebody listening to us on the internet, the secretary of the church, and you said, I just want to reach out and choke somebody. She said, amen. Boy, she give you an amen section right there. Y'all get along good.
Yeah, I know exactly who that is.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just being honest, you know. I'm that's just what you feel like, but I mean, I really, that feeling, and sometimes I try to remind myself of how that feeling felt, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You don't want to get caught up in that.
No.
You don't want to get caught up in the anger because it takes over you. And yeah. I've almost been to the point where it's like almost in rage.
Yep.
And you feel it. In every fiber of your being, you feel it. You feel it. This you're like the Incredible Hulk in you, you know,
right.
Sometimes. And, you know.
Yep.
It's either,
so
you know,
the spirit. It's a spirit that's coming on you that's doing that.
Yeah.
So
but I,
that door because the wrath of man doesn't work for righteousness of God.
No, and I know. I know. Believe me. Lord, please, you know, this is not what I want. I don't want this. You know, I'm always begging. Believe me. I'm practically
right.
sweating and begging for it not to feel that way, but usually it's either 2 weeks before or 2 weeks after, so.
Yeah. Well, like Daryl said, we all have to fight anger. And see, in my family, I have generational things that's passed down of people getting mad and tearing stuff up and throwing stuff and doing all those kind of things. So the Lord had to break that off. And so I've been listening to this guy from up in Tennessee named Ken Carpenter that works in deliverance ministry, and he was talking about that when we are raised up and we see people behave that way, it's how we react to it. If we if we hold resentments and unforgiveness towards people and we judge them on how they behave, many times it opens us up to let those things attach themselves to us. And so the very things that we disliked about our parents or grandparents or those things, we open the door up to ourselves for those things to attach themselves to us because we judge them in our heart. And so we have to repent of those things. And as we repent of them, then God looses us from it. It takes that bond off of us that's been weighing us down, because these things go, like you were saying, from anger to bitterness and unforgiveness, and it just keeps going on. And then spirits of infirmity come and all that, because 99 times out of 100 people that suffer with arthritis and things like that, it's because they have bitterness and unforgiveness in their heart. And if they would repent and give that thing to the Lord, God would take the spirit of infirmity off of them.
Amen. That is so true.
And we all struggle with it, you know?
Yeah.
We all struggle with it. And, you know, a lot of people come off as fake. Well, you know, my life is this, my life is that. There's no shame in it. And that's something else, too. You know, people have gone through abortions, using drugs, you know, et cetera. You know, that's what these churches are supposed to be for these broken people to walk in there and say, you know what, I've done this, but don't judge me for what I've done or how I say it or you know, what. Nobody should be throwing stones at nobody. And nobody feels comfortable in walking into a church and saying, you know what, I've done this. I need help. I repent. I think that's just a huge, 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 huge problem, because you can sit there with a smile on your face and your pearly whites and say, the Lord wants you to have abundant life. Well, sure. Well, you know what? This person's broken, and I'll tell you what, they don't want to hear that right now.
No.
They need a spiritual hospital. They need someone that puts their arm around them and say, you know what, I've done that too. And that's the way I've always been on this program. You know, I've come out and said a lot of things. I just don't get it. There's no shame in it. Everybody's done something wrong.
That's it. And that's how the sinner, if you're going to be a friend of sinners, you're going to have to get to the level that they're at right then. And so that's one reason that the Lord led me into the prison ministry, is the background that I came from. Even though I had done hard penitentiary time, I've been in jail a time or two, and I should have been there many times. And so that's what allows me to be able to connect with them, is that I've been in addiction, and I've lied and cheated and stole and ran game and conned people and did all those things. And I don't try to hide those things. Those are the things that God uses as a strength. He takes the foolish things of this world and confounds the wise, and he takes the weak things of this world and brings down the mighty. And so God uses these things of where we come from to say, hey, I did this and this and this, and sometimes I still struggle. That way they know, like you said, it doesn't do any good for somebody to come and to put on a show. That's being a hypocrite, and that doesn't help anybody. People need to know that, hey, we all have struggles in our life, and we all got a history, and some of our history is worse than others. But the blessed thing of it is that the one that Jesus has forgiven more is the one that's going to love him more. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.
And I think, too, that, you know, I think that some people would even think that, you know, they see these big churches and how they've become empires. You know, they might be broken and poor, and they feel like, well, you know what, I can't go in here because I don't dress right or I don't look right.
Right.
You know, and I think that's just downright disgusting.
Absolutely.
Because they just want someone to love them.
That's right.
You know?
If you really want to get a good understanding of that, go to John chapter 4, and you'll see how Jesus approached the woman at the well.
Yep.
And he didn't call her out with a word of wisdom to actually try to condemn her, many preachers have preached and said.
Right.
He was actually showing her that she was looking for love in all the wrong places.
Amen.
He was the one that could fulfill that void inside and show her that agape that you're talking about you felt in that dream. That we put people on pedestals sometimes, even our spouses, our children, our family, even brothers and sisters in Christ, and we put them up there and we expect for them to fulfill something that only Jesus can fulfill.
Amen.
We wind up in divorce after divorce after divorce and separation because people can't fulfill what we're looking for, but Jesus can.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't condemn. He's actually holding out his arm, his hand to us and saying, he stands and cries like in John chapter 7 and says, he who believes upon me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Those who will receive it, all you have to do is receive it by faith, and
Amen.
He'll cleanse you no matter where you've been. He didn't condemn her at all. He was just pointing to the fact that you've been searching, and you've been searching, and you've been searching, and you have come out wanting. But I can give you living water, and you'll never thirst again.
Amen.
Woo! And he'll draw down deep into that well. She said, the well is deep, sir, and you have nothing to draw with. Oh, yes, he does. He got the Holy Ghost that goes right down into that heart and starts drawing out all that mess and all that guilt and all that condemnation for being married five times and been living with someone at that time. She was right there, and he drew it out and just covered it by what? Agape love, because love covers of what? A multitude of sin.
Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy
Ghost. Amen. And she went running and crying, you must be the prophet. Come see a man that told me everything I ever did. And by her testimony of love, them people knew who she was, and they knew the things that she did. But when she come running down, they said, something done happened to her. I'm fixing to go back up here and see, because if God can touch that woman and bring her out, I know he can do something for me. And so that's why we tell these things and give these testimonies, is so people understand that no matter how bad you are, God can change you and turn you around. He can pull you up out of the miry clay and set your feet upon a rock to stay. Amen?
Go ahead on, man. You poet and didn't know it. Yeah. Rhyme it now. It's so true. She was an outcast. Just who you're talking about. Those with the outer sins that everybody wants to cast out. I call them the porcupine sin. You know, oh, man, this thing's poking around me, getting on my nerves. The smoke done hit me in the face. They're smoking dope. They're running needles. They're snorting cocaine, smoking crack, doing whatever to do with bath salt. I don't know what they do with that stuff. But anyway, they're doing all these things, and everybody said, I don't want to even fool with them. And here she was as those outer sins, and the whole community has shunned her because she was drawing water alone at the sixth hour.
Yep.
And he even sent his own religious disciples away because they would not understand what he had dealings with the Samaritan woman, because they weren't even supposed to deal with the Samaritans, the Jews. And he sent them away, and he got her all alone, and he showed her agape love. That's what we are to do.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That old sinner woman that was out there, she knew. She knew the word, amen, because she said, we're looking for the Messiah. And there she was, that woman out there by that well that had been in all those things, and she had eyes to see that Jesus was the Messiah when all them religious people couldn't see who he really was.
And she didn't get mad when he called her out?
No, she didn't. She said, I just got to tell the truth and shame the devil, that's me.
That's a pure heart. Bless
that's
you with a
right.
pure heart, for they shall see who?
God.
She saw God.
Amen.
But it's those people get mad when they're called out. When the sermon comes forth and hits, we don't supposed to get mad. We're supposed to get glad.
That's right.
And say, thank you for exposing. Now clean me.
Amen.
Clean me, Lord. And that's what happens. We're washed. When we try to withdraw and get angry and stiffen our necks against the Holy Spirit calling us out and saying, don't do these things, and I can help you turn from these things. And we stiffen our necks and say, no, that's when we lose it. That's
right.
When we reject and do despite to the spirit of grace that is calling us out into his marvelous light, calling us out of darkness, out of the miry clay. All we got to do is not our own strength, it's surrender. That's what she did.
Amen.
That's what she did.
Amen. That's right.
So it's me standing in the need of prayer. It's me.
Amen.
Humility. There's power in humility and the love of God.
Yes.
There's no other power on earth and in the universe more powerful than the agape love of God.
If you can't stand there, and I mean, you got to be able to say and confess your wrongs.
Yep.
You know, and not mislead somebody. into thinking that your life is, you know, the Brady Bunch, you know what I mean?
That's right. That's right, because it'll cause them to stumble because they start comparing themselves with you and what you look like on the outside, and they say, well, you're not having any problems, and I am. I must not be doing right. I know God doesn't love me. He doesn't love me like he does you, so I'm just gonna quit and give up. And so we can't do that. We have to be honest to say, I fail sometime, and I get weak in the faith, and I do all these things, and yet God still loves me, and I know that in the end we're going to win.
Well,
amen.
I was going to close the show out now because I have to be with my boy.
Okay.
But I do, before we go though, I just want to ask, you know, someone out there, you know, that might listen to this in the archives or is listening to it now, might be going through something, and I'm just, you know, can you just direct them and what do I want to say? Into going to the Lord and asking him to forgive them and to start anew.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Daryl. No, go ahead.
Okay.
I'll defer to you because you're older.
Listen to him. My goodness. It's because I got he got the white hair, too.
You still got to love me, though.
I do, brother. I really do. Well, we're gonna do that in prayer then. You ready?
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you right now, knowing that your anointing is here to break the yoke of heavy bondage.
Yes.
Lord, you see the bitter bondage that they have been in, just like you seen
the bitter bondage
the Hebrews are in Egypt. And you said, Lo, I come down to deliver them. And you have come down and went to the cross 2,000 years ago and gave yourself a ransom to deliver whoever may be listening that may be in oppression, may be depressed, may have a spirit of suicide. Lord, I pray right now that the yoke is broken through the anointing of the Word of God, through Jesus Christ and him crucified and the power that took place therein. Lord, I pray that yoke is broken and the joy of the Lord come into that person, whoever it might be. Because it says in Nehemiah chapter 8, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and that's our strength against the enemies that would come up against the walls of love, the walls of faith, the walls of truth, the walls of unity. When the enemy comes in like a flood, Lord, we know that you raise up a standard against him. And Lord, we're raising up this word right now that greater is he that is in us who are saved than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit, stir up the spirit inside, is what Paul told Timothy.
Yeah.
Stir the gift up, stir the Holy Spirit up inside, because God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Right now, the enemy is coming against millions out there, and he's coming against their mind, and he's trying to confuse and confound, and he's trying to get them to go to doctors to get on psychotropic drugs so they'll be confused and confounded any even more, and then bewitched by the spirit of divination, pharmakia. Lord, we pray right now against this spirit in the name of Jesus. You be gone. Go back to the pit from which you came and never come back. We know that Jesus is our healer. He's the one that gives us peace that surpasses all understanding. He's the one that breaks the yoke and sets the captives free. He's the one that heals the bruised and brokenhearted. He's the one we look to. If we keep our eyes upon him, we'll have that perfect peace. Lord Jesus, we want to pray this right now, that, Lord, it doesn't matter what anybody has done. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all nothing but filthy rags. Even our best religious works that people do in the church, whatever we may do, is as filthy rags, as it says in Isaiah, compared to you, Lord. You are clean and spotless, and your tender mercies are everlasting, and your love is forever. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your love has come now through the words on this radio show, and it's going through the airways and breaking all the yokes down. We're praying right now in the name of Jesus that people receive the word coming forth and this prayer coming forth, and that they are set free, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Liberty,
Jesus, we thank you that you're touching Roz right now. We thank you that you're with her, Lord God. I pray that you give Dorothy peace, Roz peace, that you protect him, that you give him a hedge of protection, that you give him a supernatural anointing on how to speak on this show. Every time they come on the air, that the captives are set free and the enemy is defeated In the name of Jesus, we continue to pray that the spirit of Leviathan and his seven generals be gone out of the people's lives. We even pray for this nation. We continue to pray for this nation, even though we may know that we are in the day. We can still pray for the Israel. We can still pray for America. We can still pray for a great revival, a turn, a repentance. Just like Jonah went to Nineveh, and he prayed, and he hollered out at them and told them to repent. And they repented. Lord, we pray that the king put on sackcloth and ashes and repent, and all of the Congress repent, and Israel repent and receive their Messiah. We know it's coming, Lord. We know they're going to receive the wrong Messiah. But, Lord God, we know that you're going to pour your spirit of grace and supplication upon them also, and they too shall be saved. Lord, thank you for this show. Thank you for the anointing and the Holy Spirit. Thank you for Brother Shane. I pray for the prison ministry down there, him and Linda, Lord, that you anoint them mightily, that you be with them, dear Lord, and that they see you working mightily amongst the men they're speaking to. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow. I'm one big chill bump.
Amen.
Amen.
I can't stay still.
Amen. We'll take you a lap around the trailer when we get off.
I might wake Teresa up.
She probably needs it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can repent about that when you get off.
Oh, brother.
That's kind of a private joke, Roz.
Oh, brother.
Bless your heart. It's been an awesome radio show. Really,
you know, I really appreciate you both coming on, and we're all blessed every time, you know, you guys come by, and I really appreciate you praying and just being here, and it's just awesome to hear, you know, real people going through real things, and that you're not alone, and there's, you know, out there that are going through it with you.
Amen.
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 So, at any rate, thank you again for coming on. I sure appreciate it, and I hope you guys come on again soon, God willing.
Anytime. Next time you invite us, we'll be here.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, everybody. Thank you for listening. God bless you all. We'll be talking with you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.